The Charming Ex-Wife, Lysander and Josiah. Chapter 31. Lysander remarked, Josiah never dated before either. He had always been firmly pushed over by Lysander to the reserve bench known as being best friends, and he had never been in a relationship before. He is different from Josiah. He doesn't love a woman he can't have. Adrian is truly oblivious to the outside world, focusing solely on reading the classics. Even when he was overseas where temptations were everywhere, he remained unaffected. Daphne. Huh. If someone confessed to you the day after the breakup in your senior year of high school, could you accept it? Daphne fell silent. After several minutes, she softly sighed. Well, no one can get over it that quickly. Yes. Still, it doesn't matter. Adrian had waited for 7 to 8 years, and he didn't mind waiting a little longer. I really think highly of him. You should really consider dating him. Lysander closed her eyes and pretended to sleep. Consider. What else is there to consider? His family was an old friend of Daphne's family, which meant they were also a respectable family in Harborbrook. They had to know Josiah. Even if they did not, they would have seen him before. Could Adrian's family allow him to be the knight in shining armor who would take on Josiah's ex-wife? Moreover, she also had an abortion before. He was a young and talented man. Could he accept a woman who had no family background, no virginity, and had married another man? Daphne retorted, saying, Josiah accepted it. Not only did he accept you, but he was also willing to be a father to another man's child. He has acknowledged Lysander's baby as his. Lysander replied, there are not many devoted fools in this world. Dramas were dramas, while reality was its own thing. In dramas, the female lead could still marry a wealthy man after being divorced. In reality, there would be too many problems. Daphne was just stunned by the sudden news and was foolishly overjoyed. However, once she thoroughly analyzed the situation, the joy faded away like a dream. And the days that followed, Lysander was doing fine. Since she started working at Central Hospital, she had not taken any days off. Thus, the number of days she saved up meant the hospital dean happily gave her a month off. She did the many things she had wanted to do but never had time for, like morning runs, cooking, and baking. She even got a gym membership. After sweating it out at the gym and coming home for a refreshing shower, she felt physically and mentally relaxed. In just 1 month, she seemed to have moved on from the failed marriage and even gained 2 pounds. The only thing that saddened her happened one day when she was on her way home from the gym. A little girl around 1 year old hugged her leg and cried "Mommy" in a soft and tender voice. Her heart suddenly ached. If her child could have been born safely, would they also be this healthy and adorable? If Lysander had never appeared, could Lysander and Josiah also play the role of loving parents who raised their children together? The child's mother soon rushed over, picked up the child, and apologized to her as the child had just learned to walk and would call any young woman she met Mommy and any young man she met Daddy. She had been apologizing for days while feeling both happy and helpless. The mother was happy that her child had learned to walk and knew to call for her parents, but she also felt helpless as the little girl was just too independent. Not even the girl's mother could control her. Both Lysander and Josiah were reserved and introverted people, so their child would not be that independent. She would not have the same problem as this mother. No. Josiah was not always kind and gentlemanly. Did his classmates not say that he was a bully in high school? Maybe their child would be tougher? Lysander suddenly laughed and shook her head. What was she thinking? The child was long gone. My dear baby, I have disappointed you. I hope you return to heaven soon. When you gaze down from the clouds again, may you choose a more suitable mother. She doesn't need to be exceptionally beautiful or talented, but she should be the only love of your daddy's life. Chapter 32. Lysander had completely cut off all ties with the Guerra family. Since her vacation, many people had been sending her restoratives, including her colleagues, friends, ex-mother-in-law, and Josiah. Among them, Josiah sent the most gifts. When Daphne opened the door, a mountain of boxes taller than she was collapsed into the room with a loud crash and almost knocked her over. Daphne casually glanced at the boxes. "Wow, these are all amazing stuff. Some of them can't be bought here. How do you plan to deal with them?" Lysander replied, "Have someone send them back." Daphne nodded. "What about the supplements your ex-mother-in-law sent? Are you keeping them?" "I'll send those back too," Lysander said. "I'll buy some supplements more suitable for middle-aged and elderly individuals to be delivered together with what she sent." Daphne did not understand the need for that unnecessary move, but she still nodded in agreement. Lysander had given it much thought. Susan genuinely cared for her, and she was very grateful for that. However, since the supplements were bought with the Guerra family's money, she did not want them. If she returned them right away, it would hurt Susan's feelings. Hence, she chose to send Susan some supplements of her choice in a show of gratitude. When the delivery guy arrived, Daphne was sitting on the sofa and scrolling through her phone. Suddenly, she let out a cold bark of laughter. At that moment, Lysander was reading the real estate news. When she heard Daphne's laugh, she asked, "What are you looking at?" Daphne impatiently exclaimed, "Do you know Zane Yarrow?" Lysander shook her head. Her social circle did not overlap much with Daphne's. She mainly interacted with old classmates and colleagues, while Daphne had a friendship circle of rich kids. Their social classes were different, so there was no need for her to interact much with that group. It was also exceedingly rare for her to hear Daphne speak of anyone named Zane. "He's the third son of the Yarrow family. His family is now working with the Guerra family." Lysander was not very interested. "Oh. This guy hasn't talked to me in ages. Suddenly, he sent me a screenshot. I thought it was something important, but when I opened it, it turned out to be a screenshot of my status update on WhatsApp." Lysander frowned. "He took a screenshot of your WhatsApp status and then sent it to you. He probably meant to send it to someone else but sent it to me by mistake," Daphne knowingly said as she chuckled. "Lysander, did you delete Josiah on WhatsApp?" "Yes. After being scolded by Daphne over the phone the other day, Josiah quickly changed his profile picture back to the default white cloud. When Lysander saw that, she immediately deleted him." "That's probably it. Josiah probably wanted to know about your recent situation, but since you deleted him, he wanted to look at mine. Hence, he asked Zane to take a screenshot of my status for him. In the end, well, Zane must have been so nervous that he sent it to me by accident." Lysander turned her focus back to her task. "That might not be what's happening. Maybe it's someone who secretly admires you that asked Zane to do it." Daphne was speechless. Why did he delete it out of guilt then? Lysander remained silent. After a while, Daphne walked over with her phone and handed it directly to her. "Take a look." "What?" "Just take a look, and you'll know." Lysander glanced briefly at it, and after Zane deleted the screenshot, Daphne messaged him with a. After a long time, Zane replied, "Long time no see. Are your parents doing well?" Daphne nearly died laughing. What a lame reply. I wonder how long it took him to come up with that. Lysander lowered her head and looked at her tablet. She had been looking at properties recently. Since she had decided to buy a place of her own, SL wanted to do some research in advance. Lysander. Daphne placed her hand on Lysander's shoulder. Josiah isn't completely indifferent to you. Lysander chuckled. He feels something, but it doesn't change anything. Over time, it will fade away. True. The situation with the baby. I feel like it's a big blow to him too. After all, that was also his child. Lysander interrupted her, saying, "By the way, Daphne, what did you post as a status update?" Daphne thought for a moment and replied, "It's nothing special, just about how I bought a new bag a few days ago. It has nothing to do with you. Even if he saw it, it's useless information." Lysander nodded. "Daphne, help me post something." Chapter 33. As the month drew close, Lysander resumed her hospital duties following her annual leave, feeling almost fully recovered. Her colleagues and the expectant mothers in the ward warmly welcomed her, but only Lynn was privy to the intricacies of the situation. She felt an urge to say something whenever Lysander appeared, yet hesitated and held back. When Lysander returned from her rounds, she noticed Lynn's flushed face dash a clear sign that she was holding back some words. She couldn't help but chuckle and told Lynn, "Just speak your mind. There's no need to hold back." Lynn asked, "Dr. Thorne, do you intend to divorce your husband?" "Yes, just one final procedure remains. I'll spend half an hour at the Civil Affairs Bureau to wrap it up," Lysander replied. Burdened with unspoken thoughts, Lynn bit her lip while anxiously gazing at Lysander. Yet, she struggled to find the right words for a moment. Lysander offered a comforting pat on her shoulder and reassured her, "Don't overthink it. Let's get back to work." After much consideration, Lysander decided to forego an overseas assignment. Although she had planned to apply, she decided not to do so as the deadline approached following her miscarriage and recovery. Even when asked by the dean, her explanation remained straightforward: "There are a few expectant mothers whose conditions are not good, and I can't abandon them." The dean was a friendly elderly man who could be a bit intrusive. With an ambiguous wink, he remarked, "If you can't bring yourself to leave your husband, then don't. There's no need to justify your choice. Everyone has to make their own decisions regarding balancing family and career. Just make the decision that's best for you." Lysander smiled softly and responded, "Thank you, Dean." 2 days later, Lysander received the news that the hospital had chosen another candidate for the overseas assignment, and they would soon be leaving. However, she had no idea about these recent developments because there was a sudden influx of pregnant women being admitted to the hospital, which kept her busy throughout the preceding days. Lysander found solace in the busyness of her work, deriving a sense of fulfillment from its demands. Meanwhile, Lynn spent her afternoon anxiously pacing back and forth at the hospital entrance. Her eyes scanned her surroundings in anticipation. Exhausted after completing surgery, Lysander couldn't help but ask Lynn, "What are you looking at? Is there a celebrity outside?" Upon seeing Lysander, Lynn hurried over and exclaimed, "Dr. Thorne, there's something odd happening. It feels like someone constantly watches us as if we're under surveillance. It's terrifying." Not taking it seriously, Lysander asked, "Any horror movie marathons lately?" "No, not at all," Lynn replied. Lysander asked, "Have you seen anyone suspicious around here?" Lynn responded, "No, but the sensation is there. I have a constant feeling of being watched. It's just a gut feeling, a woman's intuition." With a sigh, Lysander suggested, "Report any medical disputes or unruly family members to hospital security. Let them prepare for potential trouble." Lynn nodded repeatedly and affirmed, "That's a good idea. I'll go right away." As Lysander finished her shift, rain began to fall outside, casting a dark and damp atmosphere. She took an Uber instead of the bus as she was temporarily staying at Daphne's house, far from the hospital. Fortunately, the Uber arrived on time, but the distance from the hospital entrance was still considerable. Lysander quickly covered her head with her bag, ran through the rain, opened the car door, and got in. "To Sunset Grove, thank you," she informed the Uber driver. The Uber driver nodded slightly and replied, "Okay. The hospital entrance was congested with traffic, especially during rush hour, causing the Uber to move slowly. Suddenly, the Uber driver pointed outside and remarked, "Isn't that person standing in the rain a bit silly? There's shade just a step away from him." Haha. Lysander followed his gesture and looked over the pointed direction to see the familiar white Cayenne and its driver. Josiah stood tall in the rain, his hair and face soaked. He was wearing a white shirt with dark gray sleeve garters. It was difficult to discern his expression in the drizzle. However, Lysander was sure that he was looking at her. Chapter 34. The Uber driver was slightly surprised and remarked, "I think that man is eyeing my car." Lysander's response was quick. She replied, "That's impossible." The Uber driver insisted, "He's checking out my car. Did I hit his car? It can't be. I'm a good driver." Lysander asked, "Did you see him when you picked me up just now?" The Uber driver confirmed, "Yes, I did. He stood in the rain when I arrived to pick you up and was still there when we left. That's why I called him silly." Taking a deep breath, Lysander looked away and asked the Uber driver, "Please focus on the road and stop staring at him." Suddenly, the Uber driver exclaimed, "He's coming over." At that moment, Lysander couldn't help but resent the perennial congestion at the hospital entrance. "When he approaches us, what will he do? Will he knock on the car window or open the door? What will he say when we meet? Our relationship is over, so why is he here?" A flurry of questions raced through her mind. Lysander furrowed her brow and asked the Uber driver, "Can you steer clear of the car ahead?" Unfortunately, the Uber driver sighed and replied, "Sorry, I can't. It's too congested. There's no way to pass." Josiah's figure drew closer, and Lysander saw him walking towards them through a misty veil. She immediately put on a cold expression, prepared for an impending confrontation. However, things have yet to happen. Instead of approaching them, Josiah walked past and stopped beside another car. He stooped down, opened the door, and placed his hand on the roof. Then Lysan stepped out of the car and held Josiah's outstretched palm for support as she exited. "Oh, you're here to pick up your wife. You scared me," Lysander whispered. The Uber was stuck in the middle of the road, surrounded by pedestrians and impatient drivers honking their horns. Lysander looked away and laughed at herself. Confused, the Uber driver asked, "Miss, what's amusing you?" Lysander avoided answering his question and asked, "Why are you so afraid of him approaching?" The Uber driver replied, "Don't you think he seems scary?" "I wonder," shook how hood and Sanland Ha'i Nat lost in thought, she reflected, "Josiah isn't a scary person. I've never seen him lose his temper during their 3 years of marriage. Wait, there was one exception a week ago at the Mountain Hotel. I was on the second floor terrace, overhearing him having a heated argument with Lysan on the eighth floor. It was the first time I heard him speak so harshly. It's like they say, treating close ones differently. Their relationship has been complicated for over 20 years. His suppressed emotions burst out when Lysan unexpectedly revealed her desire to go from friends to lovers. He resented her for relegating him to the friend zone for so long, only to abruptly change her mind when he had already given up. To be blunt, Josiah and I are a forced pairing. With no love involved, he won't hold any grudges against me." As they were stuck in the standstill traffic, the Uber driver finally relented and asked Lysander, "Do you mind if I smoke?" Lysander initially considered nodding in agreement. Yet, she shook her head and stated, "Go ahead. I don't mind." "Thank you," the Uber driver replied, then lit a cigarette. He rolled down the window, trying to let the smoke escape outside. This unintentionally offered a better view of the surroundings. Josiah supported Lysan as they inched forward. Just as they were about to pass by the window, Lysander quickly reclined the seat and leaned back. Chapter 35. Yet, Remorse crept into Lysander in the next moment. She thought, I haven't done anything wrong in this mess. As a doctor, I did my duty by Lysan. I helped her through her pregnancy. I even stepped back, letting Josiah be with the one he loves. I didn't do anything wrong, so why should I hide? Sensing a disturbance, the Uber driver turned to Lysander and asked, what's the matter? My back is aching, and I need to lie down, Lysander explained. Are you a doctor? The Uber driver asked. Lysander replied, yes. Offering sympathy, the Uber driver remarked, oh. Doctors often endure long hours standing during surgeries, so it's no surprise your back hurts. Just lie down and rest. There's a traffic officer ahead guiding the traffic. We'll be moving soon. Okay, Lysander simply replied. As Josiah and Lysan walked by, they appeared unaware of Lysander's presence. They stood under the trees by the roadside, and Josiah used a tissue to help Lysan dry the water droplets from her hair. Inside the Uber, an unexpected quietness allowed Lysander to overhear their conversation inadvertently. Why didn't you wait for me to pick you up at home? You came all the way here while heavily pregnant by yourself, Josiah asked. Lysan chuckled in his embrace and replied, your office is in a different direction. It's too much trouble to go home and fetch me. We can meet at the hospital entrance so you don't have to go out of your way. With a tissue in hand, Josiah gently requested, come closer. Your hair is still damp over there. Lysan complied, turning around to let him finish drying her hair. While Josiah focused on this, she called out, Josiah. His response was immediate. Yes. In a reassuring tone, Lysan comforted him, don't worry, I'm not that fragile. I can manage my commute to work without needing you to chauffeur me. Okay, Josiah acknowledged. I1 continued Vanue had Lang Dau Alvon Due, CEO of the Charo Cross Rock Alden Tihi. Josiah seemed to catch the implication, choosing to remain silent. Undeterred, Lysan continued, perhaps she takes your efforts for granted because there's no love in the relationship. I've dealt with several divorce cases, and the pattern I've observed is consistent. In most cases, the wife tends to behave arrogantly, mistreat her husband, and assume the role of a queen. However, the wife often regrets her actions, apologizes, and refuses to separate when the relationship reaches the brink of divorce. Josiah felt slightly defensive and furrowed his brows. He retorted, "You don't have to make insinuations like that. Offering to drive her to work was my idea. She never asked me to do anything." Lysan couldn't hide her frustration as she replied, yes, it was your idea. Yet, she accepted it. I've heard that 2 years ago, you risked your life to drive her to the hospital as she insisted on going during the typhoon in Harbor Brook. I don't get it, Josiah. Whose life is more important, that of a stranger or yours? I couldn't do it if I were in her shoes. The Uber driver chuckled as he smoked, remarking, this couple is deeply in love. The husband worries about his pregnant wife going out alone, and the wife feels sorry for her husband wasting his time. It's so lovely. Lysander smiled and agreed, yes, it's lovely. Meanwhile, she mused, I'm a fool compared to their affectionate bond. I once foolishly believed Josiah stood in the rain, waiting for me. How ridiculous. He wasn't waiting for me. He was waiting for the one he truly loved. Lysander, dear Lysander, when will you realize you're just a replaceable stand-in? You've enjoyed a serene and warm life for these 3 years merely because your name resembles Lysan's. It's all thanks to Lysan. When she returned, you had already lost it. Chapter 36. Lysander readjusted her seat to its original position and offered a wry smile as she gazed out the window. Meanwhile, Josiah continued to help Lysan in drying her hair beneath the tree. He threw the tissue into the roadside bin before asking, is your back still bothering you today? Lysan let out a sigh and replied, I've been experiencing pain in my back and neck on and off since my pregnancy. It worsens on rainy days. Didn't you learn how to give massages? Can you give me one when we get back?
Sure, Josiah replied.
Josiah, I've been wondering. You learned massage even in the final week of preparing for the college entrance exam. Did you do it for me?
Lyson asked in a serious yet playful tone.
Josiah pondered before answering, "You mentioned having neck pain during that period. What if it negatively affected your performance in the college entrance exam?"
Lyson playfully pouted and asked, "Were you excited about me joining you at Apex University?"
Josiah gave her a knowing look and asserted, "Yes. Even if I weren't diagnosed with cervical spondylosis, attending Apex University would still be a distant dream," Lyson replied.
Josiah responded, "I don't expect you to attend Apex University. I want you to study in Apex City instead. I want us to embark on our college journey together in Apex City."
Lyson blushed and uttered, "I miss the days we went to school together. It was such a blur, unfortunately. Time doesn't allow us to go back."
Josiah agreed, "Yeah. It's okay.
No matter what happens, we'll always have each other," Lyson expressed. She wrapped arms around his waist, finding comfort in his embrace.
Beep. Beep.
Lysander instinctively covered her ears as the loud honking pierced through the air. The middle-aged Uber driver, prone to road rage, impatiently urged the car in front to move.
"Come on, move it. If we're delayed any longer, we'll be stuck again."
As if hearing his plea, the car ahead slowly started moving and seamlessly merged into traffic. The Uber driver followed suit and accelerated away from the chaotic hospital area. As they left the congestion behind, the Uber driver let out a sigh when he saw the road open up. He muttered, "Finally out. I'll never pick up passengers from the hospital again. No need to apologize. I wasn't referring to you," the Uber driver clarified.
Lysander stated, "Next time, I'll walk farther from the hospital entrance to avoid the congestion."
The Uber driver chuckled and responded, "It's more convenient for both of us if you catch an Uber there."
"Okay," Lysander acknowledged.
The Uber driver continued, "Miss, are you married?"
Lysander replied, "I suppose you could say that.
Why do you ask?"
The Uber driver asked, "Why isn't your husband picking you up in such heavy rain?"
Lysander found the question amusing and laughed.
"Is everything all right? Did you argue with your husband?" the Uber driver asked with concern.
Lysander shook her head and replied, "No, we've never argued."
"Wow. Your relationship must be powerful," the Uber driver commented.
Lysander remained quiet and pondered. A lack of arguments doesn't necessarily indicate a strong relationship. It could also imply a lack of emotional involvement. Seeing her somber mood, the Uber driver stopped asking questions. Instead, he suggested, "Why did you adjust the seat upright? We still have a long way to go. You can lie down for a while if your back hurts."
"It's okay," Lysander replied.
"Many young people tend to neglect their health. If your back hurts, you should consider getting a massage right away. Perhaps you could even find a skilled therapist to teach your husband how to ask you at home in the future," the Uber driver suggested. Lysander chose to remain silent to stop the conversation. She thought, "This Uber driver seems a bit too curious, and his questions sometimes border on being inappropriate. His casual comment hit my nerve.
Sigh.
It's my fault for not paying enough attention. When Josiah used to give me massages, I always found it strange that a CEO could have such excellent massage skills. At the time, I dismissed it as a passing curiosity. Today's revelation is surprising but makes sense after overhearing their conversation." Her attention snapped back to reality when she received an urgent WhatsApp message from Daphne.
SOS.
Lysander quickly replied, "What happened?"
Chapter 37.
Daphne urgently sent Lysander an address but didn't provide any explanation.
Lysander was surprised, thinking, Harper is usually calm and composed. She wouldn't seek help without any serious reason. This must be urgent. Without much inquiry, she directed the Uber driver, take me to Lumina Tower. Upon arrival, Lysander found everything normal, with no commotion or unusual activity. She immediately called Daphne and asked, Harper, where are you? Daphne replied, I'm at Starbucks, sitting on the first table on the left as you enter. Lysander swiftly made her way to Starbucks on the ground floor of Lumina Tower. Once she entered the cafe, she spotted Daphne in the company of a young man. Lysander called out to Daphne, Harper. Daphne's eyes brightened upon seeing her. She pulled Lysander close and wrapped an arm around her waist. She then turned to the young man and declared, See? I told you the truth. Lysander was confused and asked, What's happening here? Daphne looked at Lysander reassuringly and gestured towards the man, stating, Go back and put the blame on me. The young man glanced at Lysander and then at Daphne. With a faint smile, he asked, Miss Everhart, are you playing a game with me? After exerting much effort to remove Daphne's grip from her waist, Lysander demanded, Can someone please explain what's going on? Daphne hesitated, Lysander, before she could finish her sentence, the young man got up from his seat. Maintaining a casual demeanor, he explained, Let me clarify. My family set me up on a blind date with Miss Everhart, who claimed to be a lesbian exclusively interested in women. I had doubts, so she said she would call her girlfriend to prove it. Lysander was confused as Daphne had given an absurd excuse. She glanced at Daphne and pondered, Even though you're not interested in dating or getting married, why would you give such a reason? Persisting, Daphne asserted, You saw it for yourself. We share a strong connection. You and I can't be in a relationship together. The young man crossed his arms and softly remarked, I think the two of you can't be together. Why can't we be together? Daphne retorted. The young man calmly replied, Miss Everhart, I can't confirm your orientation, but this lady is not a lesbian. Growing defensive, Daphne countered, How do you know she's not? She is a lesbian. The young man smiled and directed his question to Lysander, Mrs. Guerra, does Josiah know about your sexual orientation? Lysander and Daphne were both shocked by this unexpected revelation. Daphne blinked and asked the young man, Do you know her? The young man replied, mentioning two keywords, mirage and class reunion. Lysander suddenly recognized the man before her and asked, Are you a classmate of Josiah? The young man replied, You dropped your phone, and I helped you retrieve it. You also mentioned being married to Josiah. Lysander was left speechless. Meanwhile, Daphne was embarrassed realizing she was on a blind date with Josiah's classmate. Suddenly, Lysander winced as a pain gripped her stomach. The pain caused her to bend down while clutching her stomach slightly. Daphne asked with concern, What's wrong? My stomach is hurting suddenly, perhaps due to rushing over here, Lysander replied. Have you not fully recovered? It hasn't been long since the abortion. Why are you exerting yourself? Daphne complained, her concern evident. The young man was stunned. He asked, Abortion? Josiah never mentioned it? Does he know about your situation? Lysander's complexion paled, her voice barely audible. He knows. Then the young man trailed off. We are divorced, Lysander explained with a smile. She added, Please don't refer to me as Mrs. Guerra anymore. You can now address me as Miss Thorne or Dr. Thorne. Chapter 38. Daphne requested a glass of hot water from the waiter and handed it to Lysander, saying, Let's go. I'll take you to the hospital. Lysander stood up, and the two of them exited the coffee shop and entered the car. Daphne started the car, getting ready to drive away. But Lysander halted her, saying, Don't go to the hospital. Daphne disagreed, "Do you want to see how pale your face has become now? Don't argue with me. I'm a gynecologist myself. Why should I go to the hospital?" Daphne was momentarily speechless.
"Fair point. I suppose the doctor on duty probably isn't as skilled as you."
Lysander chortled. "Let's head home. Are you really okay? Don't tough it out. If it's really bad, you can go to the hospital for a painkiller."
"Harper, I don't want to go to the hospital."
"Look, I understand. It's your workplace, and once you're off work, you never want to step foot in there again. But you can't just endure the pain like this, right? Josiah and Lysander are there." Daphne was about to say something, but upon hearing this, she ultimately held back her words.
Lysander said, "It's just a stomachache. We can simply grab some gastric meds and painkillers in a pharmacy on the way back."
"Why did you suddenly have a stomachache?"
"Maybe I got a little wet in the rain just now and caught a cold."
Daphne felt slightly relieved.
"Okay, then."
However, Daphne didn't stop by a pharmacy. She drove her straight home and then asked a runner to buy the medicine. Lysander took the medicine and fell asleep in a daze. After she slept for quite some time, the vibration of her phone woke her up.
"Hello, is this Miss Lysander Thorne?"
"Yes, who is this?"
Lysander's mind cleared up a bit. She wasn't fond of online shopping, and she hadn't bought anything online recently. Even if she had forgotten what she had bought before, she probably entered her previous apartment's address as the delivery address. If she wanted to pick up the package, she would have to go to Josiah's place. She didn't want to go.
"Sorry, I'm not home right now. Can you help me reject it? There are several items."
"Do you want to reject them all?"
"Several items." At this point, Lysander was sure those packages did not belong to her. She always only bought what she needed, never overspending on unnecessary items.
"Are you sure it's my name? Are you Miss Lysander Thorne?"
"Yes, but, are you sure the spelling is right? Can you please double check for me?"
The delivery person laughed.
"The spelling is right, and the phone number is yours. Even if the name is spelled wrong, the phone number can never be wrong." Only then did Lysander realize. Recently, she was so confused by the similarity between her and Lysander's names, to the point WH she made such a common mistake.
Ring, ring.
The doorbell rang.
"Miss Lysander Thorne, are you home?"
Lysander put on her coat and went to open the door. A delivery guy was standing outside, holding a large cardboard box in his arms, with a polite smile on his face.
"Excuse me, are you Miss Lysander Thorne?"
"Yes."
"Great, here are your packages. Please sign your name here."
As they spoke, Daphne was awakened by the noise, rubbing her eyes as she walked out of the bedroom.
"It's so late already.
Lysander, what did you buy?"
Daphne was intrigued and walked over to look at the delivery slip.
"You're right. It's delivered to you. Who sent it to you?"
Lysander had no idea. She quickly signed her name and thanked the delivery guy.
Luckily, Daphne was there to help her carry the box inside.
"Can I open it and have a look?"
Lysander nodded.
"Of course. It's probably some local produce sent by my mom, but how did she know I'm here at your place?"
Daphne quickly unpacked the box, taking out the items one by one.
"Hair dryer, towels, umbrella, and a bag.
Why does this bag look familiar?"
"Lysander, come here and take a look. Isn't this bag exactly the same as the one you're using?"
Lysander took a glance at it before her hand froze.
"What's on your mind, silly?"
Daphne waved her hand in front of her eyes.
"Why did your mom send you these things?"
"Here, I thought she sent you some yummy snacks. You can buy these things anywhere.
They're not from my mom."
"If they're not from your mom, then who could it be?"
"It's Josiah."
He must have seen me at the entrance of the hospital today.
Chapter 39. She moved into Daphne's place on short notice, so she didn't bring much except for some personal clothing and her bag. Today, when she came out of the hospital, she used the bag to shield herself from the rain, but she still got quite wet. The tips of her hair got damp as well. She didn't like using leather bags, so the bag she carried was made of cloth, which could shield her from the rain. However, the bag itself was soaked through, and it probably wouldn't finish drying by the time she had to go to work tomorrow. The rest of the things could be easily bought, but this bag was not a brand name product, just something she randomly bought at a roadside store. How did Josiah get his hands on an identical one? Lysander felt a bit weary and realized that she didn't want to delve into the reasons behind this anymore. Whether it was out of guilt towards her, or pity for the child, she didn't want any more complications. The sarcastic words from Lysan today seemed to still echo in her ears, and she didn't want to engage in any more conversations with them. Daphne asked, "Should we just return it like before? Just throw it away?" Daphne was a bit surprised. "We're not returning it. If Lysan sees it when it's returned, it will be troublesome." Daphne understood where she was coming from. "That woman, I saw her from a distance last time. She doesn't seem like a good person to me." At the end of the day, Lysander didn't have any deep-seated hatred towards Lysan. Lysan was going after Josiah, and it was up to Josiah to make the final choice. In the end, it was all about the two of them. Lysander and Daphne carried the box to the garbage dump in the community, threw it into the trash can, and took a few photos. She then sent the photos to Daphne. Daphne immediately caught her drift. "I'll post it on my status now. What caption should I write? Maybe something like 'I don't care.' Will that do? No need for words, just post the picture." "Okay." After Daphne posted it, she refreshed the page and saw that Zane had liked it. "Is this guy on the internet 24/7? I just posted it less than a minute ago." Lysander said, "Okay, delete it. Isn't it too soon? The people who need to see it have already seen it. That's enough for me." Daphne gave her a thumbs up. "You really are something else. I just want to live my own life." 3 years of marriage gone in an instant. She thought she was fortunate to have a good husband and a kind mother-in-law. But when the show was over, she realized that it was all just an illusion. She was just a witness to the love story between Josiah and Lysan. It was because of her presence that Josiah's deep love for Lysan was more prominent. "Should stop letting them treat me like a tool." The next day at work, Lynn secretly said to her, "Dr. Thorne, when I came in this morning for the handover, I saw the medical records from our department last night." Lysander already knew what she was going to say, so she kept flipping through the medical records in her hands. "Guess what I saw? Your husband, no, a scumbag, brought his mistress to the hospital for a PR checkup." "Uh-huh." Lynn immediately stomped her foot. "What do you mean, uh-huh? I know that."
"You do. He brought his mistress for a checkup and even told you about it? Don't tell me he wants you to help his mistress with the checkup report."
Lysander lightly tapped her on the head with a pen. "What are you thinking? Although I don't get angry easily, I won't let people bully me." Lynn sighed in relief, patting her chest. "You got me worried for a second there. Lynn, can you check when their next checkup is scheduled for?"
"Oh, certainly." Lynn checked the computer and replied, "Starting next week, it will be every Saturday."
Lysander nodded.
"Got it."
At noon, she approached the colleague responsible for scheduling and requested not to be scheduled. She believed she could minimize her interactions with Josiah and Lysan, each going their own way in life. However, she did not anticipate seeing him again so soon. Chapter 40. That afternoon, Josiah and Lysan arrived together.
Lysander supported her waist with one hand, gently stroking her already prominent belly, dressed in comfortable and loose maternity clothes. Her face showed signs of pregnancy, with a slightly swollen appearance that only enhanced her sharp features, giving her a more radiant and well-cared-for look. Walking beside her, Josiah gently placed his right arm around her back while his left hand held a lady's handbag. He also carried a thermal bag, likely containing a lunchbox or something similar. Lynn, noticing their arrival, was somewhat surprised and murmured, "Didn't they just come last night? Why are they back again so soon?" The hospital would not reject visitors, so she wasn't about to chase them out. "Since they're here, we might as well go with the flow." Lysander, supporting her belly, sat down in front of her with a smile in her eyes and raised eyebrows. "Dr. Thorne, it's been a while." Lysander glanced at her, then turned to Josiah, noticing his furrowed brows and flickering eyes. Retrieving her medical records from the computer, she asked, "Are you feeling any discomfort?" "No, Josiah has been taking good care of me. We had a checkup last night, and both the baby and I are doing well." Lysander looked amused. "Everything's fine, so why are they here today?" "To flaunt their relationship in front of me." Lysander grinned. "Dr. Thorne, I'm here to apologize to you." Lysander pointed towards the door. "There's no need for apologies. If you're not feeling unwell, feel free to leave. There are other patients waiting outside, and we shouldn't keep them waiting. I had Josiah take a number 15, right? Look, here's the receipt. You took a number, yet you don't feel unwell. Miss Thorne, what exactly are you trying to achieve?" "Dr. Thorne, there's no need to be so hostile towards me. The issues between you and Josiah are your own, so you can't blame me for everything." Lysander was getting tired of all this. She looked at Josiah and urged, "Since she's beating around the bush, why don't you say something?" Josiah struggled to find the words. "Lysander, I..." "Let me handle this," Lysander intervened softly. "It's nothing much, actually. It's all because of Josiah. You're a married couple, after all. He wanted to take care of you, so he sent you a bunch of useless things. Don't worry, I scolded him, and he won't make such foolish gestures again." Lysander came to an understanding. "It's because of what happened last night. Lysander discovered that Josiah had sent me gifts, so she's here today to give me a dressing down." As she spoke, Lysander reached out to Josiah. "Pass it to me." Taking the thermal bag from Josiah, she retrieved a thermal food jar and placed it in front of Lysander, saying, "I made this mushroom soup myself, it's good for your throat. You work at the hospital every day, Dr. Thorne, talking to patients and explaining their conditions to their families. You must often get thirsty, so this soup will be perfect for you." Turning back to Josiah, she continued, "See? When giving gifts, it's important to consider what the recipient needs. By giving practical items, you show your sincerity. Those umbrellas, hair dryers, and cheap bags from street vendors were not thoughtful gifts. Even if Dr. Thorne's salary is modest, she can afford those things. She might even feel belittled because of what you gave her. It's better to give something useful that shows you care. Otherwise, she might hold a grudge against you." Josiah's complexion paled. "Aren't we done here? I've followed you here since you wanted me to keep you company. Let's head back already. I haven't finished talking yet. Why are you in such a hurry? Stop wasting time. There are patients waiting in line behind us. Even so, you should wait for me to finish what I have to say, right? I've already paid the consultation fee. Why should I leave before I'm done?" Josiah rubbed his temples in frustration and closed his eyes.